morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we are broadcasting live this morning from ASI's Power Summit in beautiful Palm Beach, Florida. Joe Haley's here this morning. We're in Kathy Houston's lovely room. And it looks like, Joe, you've been working on your tan. Is that right?
No, not really. Irish guys, we don't.
He's been working on his freckles.
Yeah, we just try to neutralize the blue. Try to get a nice pinkish hue.
He's pasty. He's a little pasty.
Overseeing in an easy chair is Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine. How are you doing, Andy?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Good. You look very relaxed.
I am
Captain
rather
Phil
relaxed.
Joy.
You know, I had a little bit of time on the golf course, so I'm good to go.
Kathy Houston's perched atop her bed this morning. How are you, Kath?
Very relaxed as well.
And Michelle Bell, of course, is here. How are you, Michelle?
I'm doing just fine.
Over in the corner, we have Rich Fairfield, our publisher, who is in socks. And I am embarrassed to say that they're not matching. But we'll get to that later.
That's really too bad.
Well, all by herself in our home studios in Trevis, Pennsylvania this morning is Nicole Rollander. How's the weather in Pennsylvania today, Nicole?
It's actually sunny. It's been raining for a week, so it's sunny today. It's good.
But it's not as nice as here.
Probably not.
Well, Nicole will be taking phone calls this morning. Give us a call at 215-953-4979 and tell us what's on your mind. Joe, what's on tap for today's special Power Summit edition?
We're going to start off, Melinda, today with a Power Summit update and results of our new Envire survey. Andy's going to give us a rundown of some of the people on the Power 50, which was announced last night at the dinner. We're also going to look at the economy's effect on wearable sales. And how do you know if you have a work husband? Kathy's going to give us a little test, and we're going to find out how.
She knows because she has one.
She's got like 16 of them. Come on.
We're going to let everyone know how to write a customer loyalty survey. And is self-service taking the place of real customer service? We're going to look at that issue. Are companies cutting their incentives and bonuses? Something that Andy's going to give us a look at. And all this and the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Go, Andy.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Melinda. A new law signed by President Bush in August goes into effect tomorrow. It's the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008, and it puts severe restrictions on products imported into the United States. All items coming into the U.S. must now meet stricter safety standards, or the shipment may not be admitted into the country. We have two acquisition notes this morning. Acosta Sales and Marketing Company has agreed to acquire Promo Depot. Promo Depot will combine operations with Matchpoint Marketing, which is owned by Acosta. Promo Depot President Mike Sims will head the combined operation, which will employ a total of 110 people. Pedre Company, the parent company of supplier firm Pedre Promotional Products, has acquired Webster Watch Company. The deal includes all of Webster's brand names and trademarks, including its Avalon Watch division. And we'll have more news in Promogram later today.
Fantastic, Andy. Thanks. Well, guys, ASI recently conducted a groundbreaking advertising specialties impression study, which was released right here at the Power Summit yesterday. And that study included interviews of more than 600 business people in key metropolitan areas throughout the country. Want to know what they said about promotional products?
Of course.
Absolutely.
All right, one question we asked business people was, how many of them remember advertisers on the promotional items they have? What percentage would you guess that would be?
70.
Higher?
Ooh.
80. Higher?
84.
84. Obviously, you've looked at the study, Joe. 84% of business people remember the advertisers on the promotional products they have. That number is actually even higher with some things like jackets. 94% of people remembered the brands on the jackets they have. So we thought that was pretty cool. Most people keep the items they have. 81% keep items that are useful. And a lot of people aren't throwing products away. Even the ones that said they don't keep them, about 51% give them to someone else. So, again, that's pretty good news.
It's a pretty important statistics, I'd say, for the economy specifically right now.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one thing that the survey did, which I don't think has ever been done before, is that we measured the cost per impression of promotional items. So just take a quick guess. How much do you think the cost per impression of a promotional item is? Joe's raising his hand.
Well, I know the answer, though.
All right, Kathy, you go.
0.4 cents.
Wow, so you were obviously in my session yesterday.
Yes, I was. It was excellent.
But
well,
how cool is that?
Oh, my.
He was. Shocking. You know, what we did, though, is we measured the cost per impression of promotional products versus, you know, other popular ad media like TV and radio. And guess what? Advertising specialties has a better cost per impression than virtually any popular other advertising media.
That's great.
That's good. So we hope these numbers are going to give distributors some really good ammunition when they sell to end buyers. And the survey is up, the full results, on asicentral.com. So if people go there, they can get all the data for themselves. We're going to pause now to hear for a word from today's sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, we're going to find out who's on this year's Counselor Power 50.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice.
Welcome back to ASI in Morning Radio Show. And we're back here reporting from Kathy Houston's room at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach.
It's really very comfortable in here.
It's very comfortable. Well, you know, I think
we have
should...
six people in this place, and it's
And there's an ocean view. All I need is a cocktail, a Bellini.
Water.
We've got easy chairs. Some of us are in socks. Oh, now Rich put his shoes back on. I think we shamed him into it.
Some of us are in bed.
Okay. One of us. Okay. Let's not give out any more details.
We've reached the too much information.
Of ASI Radio.
All right. Well, guys, last night at a dinner at the Power Summit, we announced Counselor's annual Power 50 list, a much-awaited list of the most powerful people in the industry. Andy, were there any big surprises on the list? Who were the top dogs?
Well, I'm going to run you through the top five. The whole list is actually available right now on asicentral.com, so anybody can get that. But the top five started off with Marty Lott as number one from Sanmart.
Ooh.
Number two was a bit of a surprise. It's Eric Bensussen and Jay Deutsch, the heads of Bensussen, Deutsch & Associates, BDA. They were number 21 last year, and they jumped up all the way to number two this year. So
wow.
The biggest
awesome.
Mover in the on the list.
Yeah, what do you think the reason for the jump was? I mean, I know that we send the survey out to industry people, and they get to, you know, say whether the people should be up or down. Was that one of the reasons that they jumped so highly?
It was. They've definitely gained some recognition in the market over the past year. Also, most likely due to the fact that their sales growth has been immense over the past few years, and now they're the largest revenue-wise distributor in the industry. So that has given them the kind of attention that pushes them up the list.
And Jay Deutsch is dreamy. Let's not forget about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And the dreaminess factor is always calculated into this, isn't that, Andy?
As the voice of reason in the room, the dreaminess factor has no bearing on the list.
Well, if Michelle had her brothers.
I've heard you call him McDreamy. Yes, I have.
All right. Rounding out the top five is Paul Loggie of Norwood, Jack Teague of Fit Graphic USA, and another distributor representative on the list at number five is the duo of Gene Geiger and Joanne Lance from Geiger.
Very nice.
Those are
very
some good. Great choices. I know last night when we announced the names, we had some fun facts about some of the people. Some of them were quite entertaining. I saw that Marty Lott, I guess number one, dressed as Mickey Mouse for Halloween last year. Who would have thought?
That is interesting. There were a lot of good Halloween costumes.
I like Tom Myers from Broder has a parrot named, what is it?
Mr. Tutti Frutti.
Tutti Frutti.
And somebody downloaded Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle or something on their iPad.
No, it was actually Sweet Child O' Mine.
Oh, that's right. That was Paul Loggie.
Love that song.
Yeah, we asked each of the Power 50 what song they most recently downloaded to their iPod. There's some interesting responses, which you can see in Counselor's December issue.
Yeah, the December issue has the full Power 50 plus some serious as well as fun facts about
serious,
all of our
yeah.
new list members. That's great. Well, we also had a breakout session yesterday at the Power Summit where we broke out distributors and suppliers in terms of revenue and asked them, you know, how they're doing, what they're forecasting for 2009 for the economy. Michelle, tell us, were they bearish or bullish?
You know what? The group that I moderated, which was the top 40 companies, they were bearish. They really don't anticipate a lot of growth in the next 2 years. In fact, most of them anticipate that their sales will be down between 5 and 10%. However, in the other groups, which contain companies that were, you know, less than top 40, but they all think they're bullish. They all think that their sales are going to grow, and they're not so they're more optimistic than the top 40.
Yeah, you know, I had a group of people who are pretty big still, you know, 10 million or more in sales, and they were all bearish, so... It's interesting. I mean, they were all bullish. Excuse me. They were very bullish. How about the rest? What about the smaller companies?
All bullish. I think it was just my group. Maybe it was me.
Maybe it was you.
Me, yeah, Michelle.
The energy.
Everyone.
The energy vampire.
Can you call Andy Captain Killjoy?
my group was less than 5 million, and they were very bullish. bullish, and they had some great strategies of how they're going to attack 2009. So there was a lot of good sharing there in the breakout session.
Any unique strategies that we haven't talked about before?
No, it was all over the place, from targeting their best customers better to working their relationships with their suppliers and distributors a lot more effectively, and to just, you know, keep selling, and educating their sales reps and educating end buyers. It was all over the place, but there's things that some people thought of, other people didn't think of. So I think they got a lot out of the session.
My group said, again, it was the top 40 companies, but they all said they're going to continue to invest in their operations and their shipping and their technology. So while they do anticipate a sales decrease, they are going to keep spending on their infrastructure.
We actually have some suppliers in my group, too, who are forecasting a good year next year because they are selling to people in other countries. So that was another reason for some to be bullish. Well, Nicole, are you still with us back in the office?
I am with you.
I know that you guys have been writing a lot about how the economy is affecting wearable sales. What's new?
Well, you know, it's a few weeks ago we talked to some suppliers and distributors for our November-December cover story, and a lot of them were still pretty optimistic about things. You know, oh, well, 2008 hasn't been that great for wearables, but it hasn't been too bad. You know, some of the suppliers said that they foresee a credit crunch, people not being able to pay their bills. But a lot of people are actually looking for cheaper alternatives. You know, people are in contracts with suppliers, but they're doing things like looking for different fabric weights in their shirts to get more for their money. Mm-hmm. Some distributors that we talked to are still pretty optimistic, saying, yeah, people are looking for name brands, but they're buying less shirts so they can buy more, you know, get the higher value brands. Things like that. But, you know, it's scary because Circuit City just said that they're closing 2,000 stores and filing for bankruptcy, and there's all kinds of things happening. You know, GM's
losing,
yeah, a lot
of bad economic news out there.
Yeah, GM's losing, like, what, $2 billion a month, and if they go out, then 3 million people are without jobs. Hey, we actually have a distributor on line one, David Hawes with Geiger. Hey, David.
Hi, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Perfect. Hello.
So how's the economy affecting your business?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, we acknowledge at Geiger that though our business is steady, the revenue per order has declined just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we actually see this downturn, Nicole, as a challenging opportunity to test our creativity and reinforce what matters most. And that for us is our relationships with clients, colleagues, and our industry partners like you. We've attempted to do the best job we can now on focusing, if you will, on what we call love the one you're with by honoring those established relationships and maintaining a long-range perspective. You know, it's so easy, it's so seductive to get caught up in this sense of desperation that we all know is going to pass. But we also know that the people who have helped our business become successful in the last 130 years are the most important part of our business. So even during this slight downturn, and in some cases it's not a slight downturn,
so
it's important to reinforce and to honor those relationships.
So you're not seeing too much of an effect on your bottom line as yet, that's what you're saying?
We aren't. The overall influx of orders is about the same. The revenue per order is down, but it's not down significantly. And no, we haven't experienced a real significant downturn.
Well, we're glad to hear there's some optimism out there. Thanks David.
Well, can I make one more comment?
Well, on an equally, almost equally as weighty a topic, how do you know if you have a work husband? Kathy, fill us in, please.
Well, everybody knows that my work husband is Joe.
Aw. Either that or we need mediation, or, you know, it was a shotgun wedding. I didn't come into this willingly.
Hush up. Anyway, here are some signs. You depend on a particular coworker for office supplies. You know how you always come into my office for my lotion, Joe?
Yes. Oh,
lotion?
That, yeah.
Hello?
That's why you have to
stop. It takes static out of your pants.
You have dry skin?
Again, we're talking too much information.
Andy, I have to say that I'm always offering you Excedrin. Does that make you my work husband?
Andy is your work husband. He is.
Yes?
Yes, because there are inside jokes that you and Andy share. I think
we do share a few jokes.
Yeah.
I share them with Michelle. Is she my work wife?
Yeah.
No, she has a work husband.
If you want to go there.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us some more clues.
You can be bluntly honest with this person about their appearance. Joe, you know how I tell you when your fly is down and things like that?
Dries up, Kathy.
It's down right now. by the way.
You know what I heard Joe say to someone yesterday?
What?
Another employee. You look like death warmed over.
I heard him say
me?
That, too.
Did he say it to me?
No, he said it to someone in marketing who got up very early and was working very hard.
I didn't mean that as an insult. I meant to say you look very tired.
It was just an observation.
He meant it in a nice romantic way.
I'll only say it to Kathy from now on.
That's why he's my work husband, because he's so charming.
See, if he told you look like death warmed over, you'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I know. I'm tired. Whatever. Shut up.
Okay, what's another one, Kathy?
Okay, another one is you and your coworker can finish each other's what, Joe?
Sent beers. That's Michelle's work husband, Jeremy.
Very good.
We don't drink beer. We drink bad wine.
Okay.
I think you have a few work husbands. I see it,
that's the way I work.
A fair amount of gentlemen coming in and out of your office.
In and out of your office all day long. They should take numbers.
Yeah. Hello, you make it sound like a brothel, for Christ's sake.
Well, can you have more than one work husband?
Yeah, well, remember, Jay used to be my work husband, too, but he's no longer with us.
I thought you
had to get a divorce.
Alive.
I thought you broke up with Joe briefly for Jay.
Oh, yeah, I was a little on the outs with Joe.
It was happiest.
Now, your husband usually listens to this show, Cass. Think he's upset or he knows about this?
Oh, yeah, he likes somebody else getting my,
he has a work wife?
I think Andy and I just exploded.
Nicole, do you have a work husband, Nicole?
I was just thinking that. I don't think I do. I think I'm
you and Joe I know Joe partially belongs to Kathy, but, you guys kind of banter back and forth a little, like a old husband-wife
Well,
couple.
Joe did notice that I was pregnant before I made the announcement. He noticed that my stomach was sticking out a little bit.
Notices that on me, too, but I'm not pregnant.
But Joe's just really observant anyway.
Well, that's good. It looks like I'm partially married then to someone other than my husband, Andy.
Right. But it's platonic, and it's actually good for you to have a work spouse.
Why is that?
CNN.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
Kathy, why is it good for you?
Because it's a platonic, friendly relationship, but it's somebody that you can vent to and, share things with when your spouse isn't there.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I'm so lucky.
Yep. Lucky in love, Joe.
Lucky.
Well, on that note, a recent study came out showing tips on how to design and to write a customer loyalty survey. Wow.
Survey.
Can I talk today?
Yes.
Cass, tell us what that's all about.
Okay, well, they recommend sending it through email. And don't make it longer than 10 minutes because people are going to get
10 minutes. Yeah, right. I would say even 5 minutes.
I'd say so. I'd say 2 minutes. But start off easy by asking them simple questions they don't have to think about, like their name, age, location, whatever. But
some people might have to think about
privacy.
That.
If you're collecting personal information like their income or occupation, let them know that their answers are going to be anonymous. Avoid asking too many questions. Let them know up front how much time they'll need. And also give your survey an introduction and an ending. Start it off with a brief sentence or two and then finish it so they know it's done.
But I think this is something more companies should be doing, though. It's so easy and cost-effective.
It is easy.
Like immediate feedback.
Right. Do you ever get email surveys?
I do. I'll answer
them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, an incentive is always nice, too.
Well, that's another recommendation. Give them some small gift.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We just had a panel session at the Power Summit about customer service, and one of the aspects that the panel talked about was the importance of information and getting survey information from your customers so that you know what they're looking for out of the relationship.
Absolutely.
And also looking satisfied.
Right.
Because without that information, you can't give them the type of service that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a gauge from the audience on how many people are actively doing that?
It seemed like that there was a lot of nodding of heads. What we did gauge the audience on during that session was whether they've upgraded their technology to improve their customer service within the past year. It was actually amazing. I'd say about 99% of the people in the room said that they had. I think I saw one no flag out there.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing. There was a lot of, obviously, investment in technology for organizations in this industry as far as their customer service.
Yeah, especially, people are worried about the economy, but they're still investing in customer service, so that's good news.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's move to a new topic now, how self-service is taking the place of real-life customer service. Michelle, tell us more about that.
Well, I just read an article in Business Week, and companies like Carfax in Virginia, they implemented software where people really don't have to deal with live customer service people anymore if they don't want to.
Isn't that nice?
Exactly.
No.
Well, a lot of people would prefer not to. So they can just log online. If they have questions, they're answered immediately, and it's because of this interactive software program.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it is great. So I would love that, especially when you deal with airlines.
Yeah, a lot of people would opt for that, I think.
It's kind of like the self-checkout lady
at the grocery
supermarket.
Store.
More and
right.
more are employing them. You just
that's self-checkout at the supermarket, though. Have you ever actually done that?
I've done it. Supermarket. It works good.
I haven't. Look, and Rich just gave a thumbs down. Obviously, he's had a bad experience. But, you know, half the things don't scan. Then there's someone standing there anyway. You always need their help with something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not doing it right.
Captain Killjoy today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
Bernardi's is fine. Home Depot was a mess.
Home Depot,
I was to put your
that.
Item in the bagging area, and I put it in the bagging
right.
area.
Right. It's
telling me.
It accuses you of stealing. When
yeah, I was just
going to
say
it's
that.
It's really a euphemism for stop stealing.
Especially, like, the little paintbrushes.
My father-in-law got accused of stealing at Home Depot. He doesn't go there anymore. And was it because he was scanning his own items?
No.
That's because he walked out with a generator.
He said he stole a gas tank. I don't know why, but he's really annoyed and goes to Lowe's now.
Really?
Wow, they lost a customer.
Yep.
I guess that's what happens when you accuse your customers of stealing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, well, we've had some mixed economic news today. Some are bullish and some are bearish, but what are companies doing in terms of annual incentives and bonuses, Andy?
Well, we just found a survey that came out from Towers Perrin research organization, and it showed that the majority of companies are targeting incentives and bonuses as a place to cut. So obviously, many companies are looking for areas that they can cut in their budgets, and this is one spot that they're targeting as they move into 2009. They're saying that they're looking at incentives and bonuses as a place to cut, but interestingly, in the survey, they're also admitting, as one would expect, that they acknowledge that this will affect their turnover and will impact, you know, probably people leaving their organization. So it's a risk that they're willing to take, which I find pretty interesting at this point. You know, losing top people should not be one of your goals, but they're looking at essentially doing that by admitting that they're cutting their incentives and bonuses.
Wow, I think that's a bad move. That's a bad, kind of a short-term savings, but a long-term bad move.
It's a risky move, yeah. I mean, and they even acknowledge the idea, like I said, that turnover will probably increase because of it. But
obviously, the
axemen are out as far as the budget is concerned.
The axemen are out. You know, I would be okay, I guess, with getting rid of bonuses maybe for, you know, mid-performing employees, but your high-level people, you've got to keep incentivizing them, especially in this economy, especially if they're salespeople and, you know, they're taking a hit in commissions. You've
right.
got to do something to keep them on, and I don't think that's a smart strategy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, I was talking to a couple of people here at the Power Summit yesterday about the importance of keeping your salespeople and your employees in general calm right now. You know, there's the idea that there's a lot of negative news, but you have to focus on, you know, the here and now, and, you know, try to keep your people calm. This is not a good way to keep your people calm by cutting their incentives and bonuses. So it's a cautionary tale.
That's great. Well, thanks, Andy.
From Captain Killjoy.
Well, that's it today for our special Power Summit edition of the ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Thanks to our sponsor, I Promote You. Thanks for listening. And if you want pictures and news from the summit, visit us at asicentral.com. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.